This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details.
Back row and chill with Johanna James and Noel Clark on FUBAR Radio.
Check it, brace yourself, consumer. The gallon, sugar, and the fish named tuna combine to bring unity to your intellect. Check the style, extra
international. This is the music we are putting out,
and everything is alright.
If you don't like the music, we will show you out.
We make the dance all night.
From east, west, north, and south.
Come on,
that's the yellow flow coming from my mouth. Listen to the words that we are saying out.
Yeah, push up your hand in the air like this, baby. Face the face and embrace your history. We got the recipe to erase the treachery. Reppin' the south side of Chi-Town to the death of me. But if paper convey, you're safe in the same. We crumble up your crew like they was paper mache.
Yeah,
the vapor we spray, making fakers delay. Power to give props, we can take it away. Yeah, you never catch me with no lame girl poems. The fish voice is deeper than James Earl Jones. Me and Beanie Man, we one in the same world zone. Fire burn a vampire as the game twirls on. Yeah,
listen to the music we are pulling out.
And everything is alright.
If you don't like the music, I will throw you out.
We make the dance all night.
We're from east, west, north, and south.
Come on.
Love to hear the flow coming from my mouth. Saga now. Listen to the words that we are standing out.
Come take a look up at your watch.
What?
The real man of dance all return back. Hotter than that,
yeah,
trasher than trash. Can't pass no blood clot and fresh and hot. Anyway, this funk not funk neither you either. This bad man your life is in slander. The man lyrics are burn you like ginger. Cap you like lightning, shake you like thunder.
Oh no!
For your DJ I don't fear. Enough of them a bad man, yes but I don't care. Bet me, you think I young gold. You to Afghanistan a killer sound there.
Boom! Listen to the music we are pulling out,
and everything is alright.
If you don't like the music, I will throw you out.
We make the dance all night.
We're from east, west, north, and south. Love to hear the flow coming from my mouth. Listen to the words that we are standing out.
We be the oasis. We show taste by making the whole place shift. We show faith, people with no patience. It don't make sense, ain't no place safe for the trouble invasion. We never the play chess. Never love a girl without no latex. No doubt, go save sex. The nocturnal make it hot, pongiorno. Not to explode like a popcorn kernel. So, we clown snakes, I'm making the ground shake. Our music attracts women that's thicker than pound cake. You brothers who sound fake, you must check the style. We extra, extra
national. This is the music we are pulling out.
And everything is alright.
If you don't like the music, we will throw you out.
What? We make the dance all night.
We're from east, west, north, and south. Let's hear the flow coming from my mouth.
What?
Listen to the words that we are standing out.
Back row and chill with Johanna James on FUBAR Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's Back Row and Chill. It is the, what is it today? March the 17th? I think. Welcome. So it's supposed to be me and Noel, but it's turned out it's just going to be me today, which is going to be an exciting and interesting trip and exploration into the radio, solo radio. But I am joined by my first guest. So for the meantime, let's welcome Wajar Lee
hello.
The studio. I need like a bigger applause than that.
Applause.
Have I got anything better to Rouse. Maybe what about
Wajar
Lee?
I like this.
In the studio.
It's like me coming into the ring. It's nice.
I know, can you imagine?
What's going on?
If anyone who doesn't know Waj, he is an actor.
An actor.
And have you done anything else? Directing?
Not yet. Hopefully in future, we'll see.
We'll see.
Let me focus on the acting first, you know?
Yeah, I know. Like, chill out. Let me just...
One thing at a time.
You know, we can't all be like multi.
Exactly.
Yeah. So me and Waj, we've just worked out today that we've known each other for 5 years.
Too long.
Because... fuck off. Because we went to drama school together, and we just realised on that Facebook pop-up thing where it says 5 years ago today, yeah, you were doing this, and a photo came up. We were doing our Chekhov plays at drama school.
I never get that on Facebook, you know, where it pops
you
up.
Don't.
I don't.
How the hell? You're so lucky.
Some people get it, some people don't. I actually tried to search why can't I get it, and
why?
It's just a thing. I don't know. I can't get it.
Mine's awful. It's like, did you know that 8 years ago today, you were dumped? And you're like, oh, this is shit.
And awful Facebook profile pics, you know. I'm like, so bad.
I've seen some of the statuses that I wrote, and some of them are just awful.
It's cringe.
Like, why did I announce that? That's really cringe.
Why would I say such a thing?
And some of them are actually good, and I've nicked them and I've put them on my Twitter. Like, oh yeah, I just made that up.
We're better at social media now.
I think people have, we've got a little more hang of it. We didn't really know.
We was the first sort of wave of it, so we had no idea what we're doing.
Of course, because we're going to be the people in the future that's going to be like, we were at the beginning of Facebook. When Facebook started, we were the first people.
It started, you know, America, but then come over here.
We were the pioneer.
I remember MySpace. I used to have some other thing called High Five.
Oh my God, do you remember High Five?
Do you remember Bebo?
Yes!
Bebo was the one.
I didn't have it. I had a MySpace. I was thinking about trying to find my MySpace the other day.
With your friend Tom.
I had my one friend Tom. No, my MySpace was awful, and I was like full on emo goth.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I was taking a picture practically above my head.
And me too. I've never seen these photos. I want to see them.
It was awful. I had like the black hair with the blonde stripe.
Oh, wow.
It was.
She's come on a long way, guys.
I've changed a lot. But yeah, we're going to be able to tell our kids and our grandkids that we were there at the birth of Facebook, and they're going to be like, whoa.
Let's hope they don't search us, because there's some outlandish shit on my
Do you know what
there.
I mean?
I don't want to see it.
And also, I tried to delete my Facebook a couple of years ago, because I thought, you know what, let's just have it time out, let's just go off. And I couldn't bloody delete the thing. It doesn't let you.
Facebook?
Yeah, no. It lets you kind of semi-delete it, but then every day it's like, are you sure?
I took like an 8 month break, and then and then I went back on it.
Oh yeah, I remember.
I did a little
sabbatical.
It was nice. It was nice, some time off, but you just can't avoid it. You just got to get back on it.
Well, coming back to the show, so we've got a big packed show today. Obviously, we've got Waj Ali in the studio talking about his new BBC show, The Attack. We're going to announce our competition winner later on in the show. We're going to be speaking to Maido Hamada from NBC's Emerald City. And we're also going to be speaking to Olivier Assayer, who is the director of Personal Shopper, the new film with Kristen Stewart. And we've got news coming out of, like, I'm going to give you a rundown of all the movies that are going to be coming up in today's show. I'm so excited. I need to calm down.
Movies,
I need to calm down.
Usa. Take a deep breath.
Very exciting news in the world of entertainment, as well as Lucy Patterson coming in for our regular review later on, about 5:30, so stay tuned. Right, so just quickly, Waj, we're just gonna touch on the fact that you absolutely smashed it last week or week before?
Two weeks ago.
On BBC, there was a new show called The Attack, which was very controversial but also
scary
program, which was a drama
documentary.
I'm going to call it a dramentary.
I like that. I haven't tried that one yet. I like it. I was just like, drama documentary. It's really long.
It's a dramentary.
It's like a mouthful. A dramentary. We're going to go with that.
And so it's all about the hypothetical situation of the one of the worst terrorist attacks on London. If that ever happened, how that could happen.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So who did you play? And how did that come about?
So I played a guy called Ahmed. Basically, the show, it follows a guy who's gone into prison for minor drug charges, and in there he's radicalized by myself, which is nice.
I radicalize
him. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Hey. And then they plan to do some very bad stuff, basically.
Really bad stuff.
And our whole show is mixed in with sort of the documentary side of it, telling you what the police are doing to counteract this sort of attack happening and the good work they're doing, actually. So,
for sure.
Yeah. And I had a very big beard.
You had a massive beard, because normally I'm used to you being so clean shaven and really sharp, and then you were on screen with this like huge beard.
Let me tell you, 4 months. I agree with
that. 4 months.
Literally, like, when I watched it, I shat myself. I was like, what the fuck is that?
What's on my face?
I know, what is happening?
Get that raccoon off my face.
I know. It was crazy.
It was a pretty impressive beard.
It was good. I miss it so much. I just want it back.
There are so many men out there who just struggle to do facial hair. So they're going to be well gel.
I know.
If you saw the attack on the BBC recently. Oh, no, wait. Let's turn that around. BBC's The Attack.
Yes.
Then get in touch with the studio while Waj is here. Let's have a chat. So you can tweet us at Foobar Radio or email in chill@foobarradio.com. Let us know if you saw the show, what you thought about it, or if you've got any questions to ask Waj.
And if you haven't, it's on BBC iPlayer for like another couple of weeks, so check it out.
Because I saw it live and then I watched it again on iPlayer.
Oh, thank you, Johanna. So nice of you.
Well, you know, my buddy. And I was like, so proud. So proud. Because me and you, we were actually in the final state. Well, actually, my very first ever scene that I had to do at drama school was with you. Yeah, I was partners with you.
It was. It
and
was.
At the very end of drama school, my showcase was with you.
Yes, it was.
So yeah, I was like, oh, my scene partner doing
his
thing.
She's proud.
My baby growing up, going to the BBC.
Stop it.
But so, I mean, how the hell did you kind of wing that? How did that come about? You auditioned out of nowhere?
Do you know, I was doing another project, which is going to be out in summer. I really can't talk about that one because it's super top secret.
Ooh.
But I had a small part in it, so it's nothing big. But they asked me to grow my beard out. And it just so happens, like, within this industry, it's right timing and everything. And so the audition come up for this thing is literally 26-year-old guy with a big beard and he's tall. And I'm just like, if I don't get this part, I should quit acting. So I had, you know, and the part came around and... It's a cool show, and it's starring Arnold Chang.
Arnold O Cheng.
O Cheng, that's how you say his name.
I got that wrong so many times. Arnold's a mate of mine. He was in Brotherhood, and he has hosted Back Row and Chill a couple of times with me. So it was so weird. I knew you, and I knew Arnold.
So it was really good to work with him. And
he's amazing.
We shot it was such a quick shoot, and we had a pickup there, and they had to put a beard back on. And
oh, like a fake beard,
like on top of my half beard.
Beard extensions.
Yes, exactly. Do you know how long it took to take the glue out? And then I had a rash on my face. I was like, bloody hell. But yeah, it was a wicked, wicked shoot, and we had a great director, Gabriel Range, and watch it.
No, it was really good, and I've got to say, because I know you, and I know how fun you are and stuff, but your character is dark. He is pretty much one of the scariest bad men I've seen on TV, because he is a radical terrorist.
Proper, yeah. He's the kind of guy that's been out there, come back, by out there, I mean... Syria and stuff, and he's come back and planned to do bad stuff in Europe, sort of thing.
And one thing that, because I watched it on my own, and then I watched it again with a friend of mine who is a Muslim, practicing Muslim, and she was getting very frustrated because she was kept screaming at the thing, going, "But this is not what we believe."
Yeah.
And I felt that the program. It was so, so good. But if you weren't sort of intelligent enough to understand that this was just these members of the group, and this was not a representation of the whole of Islam, because I felt...
Of course not.
But you know what? The internet is stupid, and a lot of people are very stupid. And
I mean, you just got to educate yourself on that sort of matter. Like, I knew this sort of stuff would come in, like a lot of people saying it's fear-mongering. I mean, yeah, but it's just information. It's just telling you essentially what the police are doing. And what's happening in prison, the one thing that attached me to the script was radicalization that's happening in prison. It's a big problem. So
because
I think the whole system of prison is a bit messed up. It's not sort of there to rehabilitate anyone anymore. It's just you just chuck them in there for a couple of years, they come out.
Just
and
a box.
Yeah, it was horrible when we were shooting in a prison as well. Like,
which
tiny,
prison did you...
It was in Bristol Mallet. I can't remember. Shepton Mallet, that's it. Horrible. Cray Twins had spent some time there. Bronson had spent some time there. It was disgusting. Like, don't go to prison. Don't do bad stuff, people.
Just don't go to prison, all right?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Because, we're gonna pop to some music for a little bit, because I really want to get into this subject, but no, I don't want to dive into this very deep, important subject.
It's a bit serious to start off with.
Do you know what I mean? It's a little bit like, let's just dive.
Let's play some music.
Let's have a little bit of music, because I've been obsessed with this new series called Riverdale on Netflix.
Okay.
I hadn't seen it too, and someone was like, "Oh my God, you gotta watch it."
Yeah.
So I did, and the soundtrack is just insane. So I've taken a couple of songs from there, and I'm gonna play through today. So a lot of today is inspired by Riverdale. So my number one song of the week is called Trouble by Cage the Elephant. So we're going to have a little listen to this, and we're going to come back and we're going to grill Wadge a little bit more about...
Grill me. Shit.
I'm going to grill you about your new role, because it was bloody amazing.
Thank you.
Right, this is Back Row and Chill. Stay tuned.
I don't know if I spoke the truth. God, so much.
Song, favourite song of the week.
I really
that
like
one.
That.
Isn't
no,
it
really
lush?
Like it. It's really chill.
So that is from Netflix new series Riverdale, which I'm absolutely just dribbling over. Mm. So good.
She literally is dribbling.
I'm literally... Oh, whoops there.
Cover it up.
Let's wipe that up. Yeah, if you're into kind of like retro Stranger Things slash Twilight slash kind of Gossip Girl, it's got the addictiveness of Gossip Girl. It's brilliant. It's like a set in teenagers yeah. in this little town in Riverdale. One of them gets murdered. It's like a whodunit. Everybody potentially could have done it. So you're just
sounds good, man.
It's so good.
I'm gonna go check it out. Netflix.
Check it out, Riverdale. Mate. That's my Netflix recommendation of the week. Like right. If you've just joined us, this is Back Row and Chill. I'm Johanna James, and I'm with my guest Waj Ali.
Hello.
Who has recently been on the BBC with his new show called The Attack. Let's rewind a little bit before you did the BBC. What stuff did you do since we went to drama school?
A lot, really. A lot of TV and film, but a lot of bit parts here and there. I was involved in some bigger films like Red 2 and Good People.
With Bruce Willis,
With Mr. Bruce. Good People. And I'd done some sort of American TV stuff. Again, bit parts. This was like one of my biggest roles, so it was really cool to work on it. And
yeah.
I've got an indie film coming out later in the year called 90 Minutes. It's going to be good. Really good British film, directed by Simon Baker. So keep your eyes peeled on that. But yeah.
Well, you're Busy Bee, which is really cool because you are of what's your ethnic origin?
The heritage.
Yeah. The heritage.
This is always the sticky question. Yeah. People don't know how to ask. I'm Kurdish Iraqi originally, so I'm Kurdish.
Kurdish Iraqi.
Yeah, yeah.
I have that because my boyfriend's of Middle Eastern descent, and people I don't
it's
know
Palestinian,
how.
Palestinian, isn't he?
Yeah. He's Palestinian, Lebanese, Algerian.
Oh bloody hell!
So I'm like, I don't know what.
Just go with one place.
Yeah,
just.
I'm like, he's sort of from over there.
The Middle East.
Right, so what was my question again?
She's doing this by herself. Sorry, guys.
Oh, well, I'm hosting solo today, so you know, man down. No, I forgot what my question was. So you're Kurdish. So I was saying about you're so busy, and because there's been a bit of. I saw an article recently that was written on what's a Facebook article, but it was essentially saying that people being caste type.
Yeah.
And
typecast.
That's the way now.
I love it. Caste type.
They knew what I meant. And because I remember us sort of bantering around at drama school, and I was saying, "Oh, I bet you any money you're going to play a terrorist."
And it happened.
And it's happened.
It's happened more than once.
I know. Yeah, yeah. And this article was basically saying that the role of they're sort of fed up of playing.
Yeah.
The role of a terrorist, and they need to be more positive Middle Eastern characters.
Absolutely,
in sort of across everything.
Yeah, I agree 100%. It has to come from higher up, though. You know, the execs, the producers, putting the scripts out, because I really do believe there's scripts there that are written in this way. But immediately we just pigeonhole the Middle Eastern actors to
And it would be amazing to. I love when you get given a script and you get to do it colorblind.
Yeah.
So they basically get the whatever the character is, and you can literally just change it to whatever race, and it would still work.
Yeah.
And I like doing that with. I think it was the film Alien. So they got the script, and all of the roles were gender neutral.
Oh wow!
So all
the new one coming out. The original
Alien. Okay, so the original Alien, the only role that they thought was meant to be a boy was Ripley, was the main character. But every other character has got a gender neutral name. And they didn't. They just left it open in the casting.
It's fantastic. Yeah, sci-fis tend to be like that.
Yeah,
you know, color doesn't really tend to come in, or gender at all. So yeah, that's really cool.
Whatever. And then weirdly, so everybody just got cast just blindly, gender blindly. Apart from the main character Ripley was then cast as a girl. The only one that they thought was going to be a boy, they then changed it because they were like
turned on his head.
Sigourney Weaver nabbed the main role.
Amazing. Good for her. Look what happened to her after that.
I know. Boom. But that is something that I really want in the future, to have more shows that are colorblind, and also more historical shows that are colorblind as well, which is where you basically say it doesn't matter what the accent or the... we're just going to cast the role, so it doesn't matter. And they didn't... I think the BBC did that a couple of years back where they did the Easter story from the Bible, but they did it colourblind, so Pontius Pilate was black and like had a Liverpudlian accent or whatever.
I mean, they got their new Robin Hood film. Jamie Foxx is playing...
Little John.
Yeah, Little John. That's it, which I love, which I never would have seen it like that. But I mean, that's the context that we have in our head of
he's going to be
characters.
Amazing.
You know, I really look forward to it.
Yeah, that looks super good. And that's got... who's the Jamie Dornan.
Taron Egerton.
I love him.
Yeah, that's right.
With Kingsman. He was in Kingsman and Eddie the Eagle.
Yeah.
Love him.
Love it.
I interviewed him like a year ago and I really fancied him. And he asked for my number.
Oh, go on, Joe.
And then I didn't give it to him. Mm. And then I tried to tweet him and then it got lost and it all just never happened.
Well, you missed your chance, really.
I missed my chance to Taron. But
it's not going to happen again.
Never again.
Maybe it will.
Too late. I put out on my Snapchat some questions for you guys to get involved. If you do want to tweet us in, you can tweet us at FUBAR Radio or email in chill@fubarradio.com and we will shout you out. Any questions you want to ask or let us know what kind of films you're loving. So I asked for questions and I got a really random one which said, would you rather have a house-sized cat or a baseball-sized elephant, and why?
A baseball-sized elephant or a house cat?
Or a house-sized cat. Wow, so that is like literally the size of a hat. A massive cat or a teeny tiny elephant.
I think I have the elephant. It's so cute looking. I like big elephants, so even having a little one would be just nice. And you can pocket it, take it around with you.
The
cat would just take up a lot of space.
And can you imagine the furballs?
Oh, my God. And the food you have to feed it.
And the poo. At least mini elephant poos is going to be like a normal cat.
It's a quick clean up, you know.
So, I mean, we're such adults. We're just thinking, we're thinking already about like food, price, poo. No matter how, it'd be amazing to have a massive cat to ride to work. But, you know, and also would eat.
I love your ride to work. Yeah, I don't think it'll care about you much.
Valiant.
Imagine that trying to get through the door.
Oh, can you imagine? Oh, like, babe, the cat flap is bigger than the house.
Have to have another extra door for it. Yeah.
So thank you, Strangely Case Casey on Snapchat for that. That was amazing. Let me just open a couple more and see if there was. I asked for favourite movies. People are saying Taken. People are saying Taken. Scarface.
Scarface, classic.
Oh, there is a spoof coming out of Taken. The guys from Scary Movie are making it, and it's called Where the Fuck Is My Daughter?
I love that.
I think that's going to be amazing.
Where the fuck is my daughter?
Where the fuck is my daughter?
Okay. I'm going to fucking find you.
So, who is your ideal celebrity man? That's come in.
Ideal celebrity man? Is that question for...
Okay, I prefer both of us. Let's just do
let's
it.
Go. I've always been Brad Pitt. I loved him.
A Brad Pitt fan?
I love the guy, yeah.
I love the...
A hunk of a man.
What a hunk. Yeah, no, I love the fact that he is now heavily a producer. So
yeah,
he's
not,
he's moving into making serious
I
shit.
Think Plan B is his
Plan B.
Company.
Yes, yeah, for sure.
Wicked.
He recently produced the Netflix series The OA, which is absolutely amazing.
He produced that? Oh, mm-hmm. Wow.
And he's the brand new film, The Lost City of Zed.
Which is coming out soon, yeah.
Which
I just
saw this week, and I'm going to review it later. It's
got
absolutely fucking amazing.
Got a few guys for you there, Joe.
To interview. The what?
A few guys in there for you.
Oh, yeah. A couple of men in there. Right, what's my favourite ideal celebrity man? I guess somebody that, funny. Comedian-wise, I like Michael McIntyre.
Yeah, funny.
He gets me giggling.
I like him. He's a bit camp with his delivery, but I love it.
I quite like a camp guy, actually. I think I quite like... If you're so, you know, strong in your own sexuality that you can go camp and be like...
He can do it. He's really funny. I love his stand-ups.
Yeah.
It's really funny.
So I think Michael McIntyre would be my favourite comedian. And then acting-wise... Oh, who do I look up? Ooh, I love a Denzel Washington.
Yeah.
He's just like...
Brilliant actor.
The shit, isn't he?
And he just walks with such like aura, confidence. Amazing.
I know. Just like grace and poise.
Like what I hope to be.
Me too. Also, what is your favourite TV series of all time? That's a pretty extreme question.
I think that sounds hard, but it's quite easy. It's got to be Friends.
Oh, of course, isn't it?
It's the easiest question. I think I've seen every episode more than 10 times.
And it's something that you can just put on.
In the background.
Yeah.
It makes you feel comfortable. You know when you're alone by yourself. When you're alone by yourself.
Existential depression of being alone.
Oh, God.
And you got Friends. Yeah, but also, there's so many series that you can put on series like 2, and it's almost a different show to series 10.
That's the thing. I think what they cast and they filled these characters so well over the years. You know, you can see yourself in each one of them. Like I always think I'm a bit of Joey and Ross. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You definitely.
Joey. I'm a bit of a Joey.
At drama school, you were a Joey.
I moved on.
Now you. Yeah.
I got a bit of Ross. I got a bit of a head on me now.
Now you're a Ross. Yeah, because I used to think that I was quite Phoebe.
Yeah. I could see that.
But then I think Rachel more in the terms of her watching it again and her comedy.
Fatal.
I'm Fatal.
Yeah.
Woohoo. I think I'd have to say Friends, actually. That was just stellar.
Yeah.
Right. Ooh, another question from Cuvée on the Snapchat, which is, what will be your favourite vacation destination?
Oh, Bora Bora.
Why?
I don't know. It just looks really nice in the photos. And it's really expensive. I assume it's good.
I would say, at the moment, I'm obsessed. There's a place in the Bahamas where you can go and swim with pigs.
Sorry? Repeat that?
You get to swim with like little piglets in the Caribbean Sea.
Firstly, I didn't know pigs swim.
Yeah.
That's new information.
Neither did I. But I saw it online and I love it. And...
swim with pigs in the Bahamas, guys.
So I keep Googling it on Pinterest. If you put on Pinterest, like swimming with pigs in the Bahamas, it just looks so cute and amazing. And that's where I'm going to go on holiday. Oh. Right, so we are going to pop back to a little, another one of my Riverdale songs.
Musica.
And then we're going to go into what is coming out this year because there are some amazing films that have been announced this week. So it's very exciting times in the movie times. So, I'm going to go for Sugar Sugar. This is an old one, Sugar Sugar by the Archies. But because the Riverdale is quite 50s themed,
okay. They
got a couple.
Sugar Sugar.
You'll know it. As soon as I play it, you'll recognise it. Recognise it?
Oh, yeah.
It's background.
I remember it.
Sugar, oh honey, honey, you are my candy girl, and you got me wanting you, honey.
sweetness over me.
Pour your sweetness over me.
Back. It has just gone 4:30 Friday afternoon. The weekend is about to start.
This
is
the weekend.
Back row and chill. It's Wedge Ali and Johanna James. I mean, you said our names the wrong way around. Like Johanna Ali.
I like being first.
And Wedge James. I got that way around. I haven't been drinking yet. That's for after the
later
show.
St. Patrick's Day, guys.
It is. It's St. Paddy's Day. Everyone's everyone comes as Irish today.
I bet
you're like today.
I didn't wear no green, but I'm going out with my Irish friends.
Oh, and, I didn't. You know, yeah, I know. For today, are you like Kurdish, Iraqi?
I'm Kyrish.
Irish. I mean, I genuinely, my grandma's Irish and like I have a whole Irish Catholic family on that side, but I never do anything for Paddy's Day.
Well, today's the day.
Today's should I do it? My debut Paddy's Day.
I can't believe you've got a bit of Irish and you don't go out. I've been going out since I was like, you know, little.
Mate,
St. Paddy's Day.
I'm just picturing you like five, like,
just like off my face.
right, so now I've been itching to tell you guys sort of some up and coming news because we've got some very, very exciting 2017 in the year of film. So Disney has announced this week that Indiana Jones 5 is going ahead. So Harrison Ford is back.
He's back. Amazing.
He's about 102.
Who's is he the lead or?
Yeah, he's playing Indiana.
I heard Ryan Gosling.
There's rumours that Ryan Gosling or Chris Pratt were going to sort of take the helm.
Right, but it's going to be Harrison.
But apparently Harrison Love Ford that. Is back, even though he's like in his
he's
hundreds.
He's badass. He could do what he wants.
Of course he can. Yeah. It's Indiana fucking Jones.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's going to come out 19th of July, 2019.
Got a long wait.
Long wait to go. But Steven Spielberg is back to direct. So
amazing.
It's going to be quality.
Yeah.
And I don't know anything else. They haven't released like a storyline or anything yet. But I mean, gotta love it, a bit of Indiana Jones. It's Indiana Jones, yeah. Mate. So
been around since before I was born.
Classic.
Yeah, I know. It's so good.
I think they were all finished before you were born.
Yeah,
actually.
Yeah.
The last one was in 1989.
Whoa, are you serious?
Yeah.
No, they done a new one.
Oh well, we don't count that one.
Okay.
Because that's just not good, is it?
No, it wasn't.
If you, I don't know. Let's ask the people out there. Which is your favourite Indiana Jones? And why? I like the Temple of
yeah.
Doom.
Yeah, Temple of Doom.
Temple of Doom.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the one that was 1989, the third one. That's the one I remember the most from my childhood.
Likewise, yeah.
So that was my favourite.
Is that the one where they spent some time in Venice and then went underground? And
yeah, they go
in the library.
They go down, and I just remember lots of sort of tunnels and then,
Yeah. I think that one.
I think it's got the boy from the Goonies, the little young Asian boy in there. Let us know, what do you think? Are you excited about the new Indiana? Do you think they should just let it rest, or should we keep dragging up all of these
Spielberg and Harrison Ford? I don't know.
I think it's a match made
exactly.
in cinematic heaven.
Yes.
But I mean, that's what everyone's doing. So you've got Star Wars reboot, we've got Indiana Jones reboot, we've got Pirates of the Caribbean 5, which is about to drop in May.
Yeah.
And it's Dead Men Tell No Tales. Although I went to the cinema last night and I saw a trailer for it and it came up Pirates of the Caribbean Salazar's Revenge.
Oh, they keep changing
So I don't know if they can work out what the fuck they want to call it.
I don't even remember what half of them were called. You just know it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
There's the good one, Pirates of the Caribbean, and then there's just like the other ones, isn't it? but Pirate 5, I actually got to say that the trailer, it did make me go, oh, quite want to see this one. They got loads of cast returning from the original Pirates of the Caribbean. I think they went back and went, right, the first one worked because of this, this, and this. So they got a lot of little characters from the first one are coming back on. We've got, of course, Johnny Depp,
huge cast.
Jeffrey Rush. So a couple of facts about Pirates of the Caribbean 5. So the Black Pearl will be returning, because earlier on in the series, the Black Pearl got shrunk into this like tiny little bottle, as you do. In the fourth film, they shrunk the pearl into this tiny bottle. So apparently the pearl...
Yes, I remember.
Yeah.
It's come back to me.
I was drunk at the time. It was Paddy's Day. 2008.
I'm drunk now. I'm joking.
The Black Pearl is out of its little bottle cage. Jack Sparrow is... back on it.
Awesome.
So original cast coming back. The sort of theme about this one is about the Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah.
Which is, I've always been fascinated by that. Because that is...
What happens there?
I know, it's a real life mindfuck, isn't it? Yeah, so much stuff has gone down in that triangle.
Loads. I've read about it myself as
I know,
it's
isn't
really
it?
Interesting. It's like, oh, I want to go. Is it like another world or something?
I should have been writing my dissertation at uni and I'm like, what's the Bermuda Triangle? But so that's going to be quite fun and all sorts of upside downy stuff. So also there's a big buzz because if you've seen the trailer, I do recommend going onto like Google, YouTube and checking out Pirates of the Caribbean 5 trailer, because there is some cool stuff going down. But also there's a new character called Henry who is absolutely gorgeous. I think he's the new sort of male lead. Orlando Bloom is going to be, he's returning. And there's a rumour that Keira Knightley is going to also be returning for a very small part. But Orlando Bloom is back as Will Turner. And the rumour is that this new character is Henry Will Turner's son. And he look, if you put them side by side, they look like a, he looks like a mini-me, but like a hotter 20-year-old version.
It's just Orlando Bloom 20 years ago.
I know, right? But hotter.
Yeah.
And the theory that points to this is if you go on IMDb, all the other characters in the film have double names. So even the girl from Skins,
Kaya
Salario.
It's a long surname. I'm not even going to attempt it.
I just attempted something and I know it's not right.
Salario.
But I'm going to call her Kaya Salario.
The ice cream. Is the ice cream.
Kaya Salario. Even she's got a double baron name. Apart from everyone, he's just credited it as Henry, which is the big thing because they don't want to put Henry Turner.
Yeah.
Otherwise, everyone's
you know you're
like,
the lead when you just got one name. It's like
Here we go, Kaya Scodelario. Scodelario.
It's Italian. Is that Italian? Yeah.
Pretty much Solera.
Yeah. Almost. Yeah.
No offense. Lovely Kaya.
I'm sure you're very good.
And cast wise. The main baddie, was going to be played by Christopher Waltz, who was in Django and...
The German guy.
Yeah. So he was...
Very good. Inglorious Bastards as well.
He's such a good baddie. And he was going to be playing a person called Captain Brand. But then Christopher Waltz had to pull out and then they recast it with... How do you say his name?
Javier Bardem.
And so then they changed the name to Captain Salazar to keep it like more ethnically balanced.
I see.
Which actually I think sounds way cooler than Captain
Salazar,
Brand.
That sounds
Captain
pretty
Salazar.
Cool.
Salazar. If you want to be a pirate.
You want to be called Salazar, not Brand.
Exactly. Branding. And weird little factoid. So both of those guys played the latest Bond villains.
They did.
So it was...
I thought Javier's was much better. There was that scene with Daniel Craig where he put his hand on his leg.
With this sort of gay...
And, we was like, what is going on right now?
See, I told you, when they can play camp.
Yeah.
Extra cool. that was a little bit weird factoid. And the second factoid about Javier is that his wife, in real life wife, Penelope Cruz...
Yeah, I know.
...was in the fourth Pirates of the Caribbean and played Johnny Depp's wife.
Oh,
so that's like
that.
Keeping it in the family.
Incestuous, eh?
It's been incestuous, but that's what happens. You know what I mean?
Awesome.
And a little factoid as well, they filmed it in Australia. I think they must have got some sort of budget tax cut to film everything in Australia. So even though it's Pirates of the Caribbean, it's in Auslan. And to stop people from getting onto set and fans, they made the whole film under the code name Herschel. So the film
Herschel,
yeah, H-E-R-S.
What was they going for? Some German thing?
I don't know. People were like, what's that? I don't even care.
Yeah,
Herschel.
Fair enough.
So it worked and
good plan.
They kept people off the set. But that was my little factoids from Pirates of the Caribbean 5. I'm going to play you a little bit of a trailer, but do go and see the visual. But this is a little bit of a slice of what you can what you can get in the cinema
this May. Let's hear it.
Pirates had infected the seas for generations, so I vowed to eliminate them all. And then there was this boy, Jack Sparrow.
Follow him in.
He took everything from me and filled me with rage.
The dead have taken command of the sea. We're searching for Pearl, a girl, and a sparrow.
I have heard stories of a mighty Spanish captain whose son had been killed. Thousands of men.
No. Pirates.
Boom.
Sounds wicked. Spooky, man.
Yeah, a little bit spookstery.
It's getting darker and darker, these films. You remember the first one? It was just like, it was a bit weird, but you know.
Yeah. I think the original Pirates of the Caribbean was one of the only films I saw it, I think, four times at the cinema. I was like 13 or something at the time, and I remember watching the trailer again and again and again, and I was absolutely obsessed. Like, I really.
How did you get in the cinema? I'm sure it was a 15.
No, I think it's 12.
Really?
Maybe I wore a padded
bra.
It
was really good, though.
But I remember going to see it, and I just absolutely loved it. Because I love sort of, what is it? It's a fantasy movie, action-adventure fantasy,
yeah,
with period costumes and corsets and all that. And I really wanted to play Elizabeth Swann.
It was wicked.
I was like,
You wanted Keira Knightley's
part. I wanted to be that part so bad. And
You can do it still. I'm sure the franchise will go on and there'll be another character.
Well, I don't think it's going to stop,
no,
you know.
They make too much money.
I know. Pirates of the Caribbean 59 is going to be, you know, what we're
grandchildren.
The great, 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 great. But then they're going to run out of pirate times, it will just come right up to the modern day.
They do more original films do need to be invested in, I think, as well.
We were
talking about it. Like, there's that new film that just come out, Get Out. Proper original, and it's done so well in the box office. Like, it just shows, mm-hmm, you know, original films can make a lot of money.
And that was I saw something about that, which was, it was the first movie to be penned by a black writer, yeah, that has grossed over sort of like $100 million
on the debut.
And
yeah,
I was like, yes, get in there.
No, it's happy. It's good.
So that was really, really, really cool. Yeah. So, I think that everything's starting to open out a little bit more and get a little bit more accessible.
I do like the sort of franchises going on, but it comes to a point where you just got to stop.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about this Pirates of the Caribbean. We'll see.
We'll give it a go. We'll give it a little...
Sounds good.
Give it a little looky.
Yeah.
Right, so let me just see in my little entertainment news. We should probably let you know what's going on in the world of the entertainment. So, Mission Impossible 6,
yeah,
is underway. It's shooting.
Henry Cavill's been confirmed. Was you just about to say,
yeah,
that? Sorry. I saw that today. I was like,
yeah. And I thought it was quite interesting the way that they announced it. So obviously they must have pre-arranged that he was going to be in it, obviously, because there's so much more that needs to, yeah, be going on. But the director put a picture on Instagram and tagged Henry in it and said, hey, do you fancy a role in the movie? And he was like, hey, yeah, all right. On one condition, I can really fly. Because obviously it's Superman, he doesn't get to really fly. So he goes, yeah, okay, we'll get you like stunted up. You can really fly.
Brilliant.
So they made it look like it was this little like casual exchange on Instagram, but we all know it wasn't.
Yes, they planned this for months.
The internet is a lie, everyone.
But,
The internet is a lie. So that's cool. So Henry Cavill, aka Superman, is going to be in Mission Impossible 6, but we don't know what he's going to play yet.
Yeah, they still got a lot of the cast from the last one, which I felt was quite good. I watched the other day.
I do like a Mission Impossible, but again, Mission Impossible 6, Indiana Jones 5, it's like they're literally just
Trying to get to double figures.
Yeah, can you?
We can make it to 10.
Has there ever been
it's
a 10?
Like Police Academy.
Oh, yeah. Well,
Went on and on and on. It's like Police Academy 7. Which one is this? I don't know.
The Land Before Time. That also went on and on and on and on.
Oh, my
gosh. It's like a little gem from the 80s. It's Steven Spielberg's animation.
Okay.
And it's about these little group of dinosaurs that get... it's actually horrific. I can't actually watch it anymore because it is so... It makes me cry. It's this little group of baby dinosaurs that get... it's like the end of the dinosaur With all the meteorites hitting. Yeah, and they get split up from their mums and dads, and they get told that if in doubt, they've got to head to the Great Valley. This is where all the dinosaurs are going to like cluster, because that's where there's food. And it's like they go on this amazing adventure together. Although me and my brother used to argue, because I thought it was called the Great Valley, and he thought it was the Green Valley. So we just argued the whole way through.
Did you both get it wrong? What was it actually?
I don't know, because someone like correct me on this. I thought it was got to get to the Great Valley. And he says, it's the Green Valley! But it had this really strong American accent, so we couldn't work it out. But that had about... It was number one, and then it went on to have, like... Pirates of the Caribbean.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Land Before Time.
Land Before Time.
12 or 13 or something.
I'll go check it out.
Right. Glastonbury. Ed Sheeran has been just
headlining,
announced.
Yeah.
He's going to headline. Basically, mean, you know all my fucking news.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I'll just
and
leave.
And the host next week, guys.
I'll just leave. Bye. It's been great, guys. It's been a great 6 months.
He'll be perfect, though. I mean, there should be no one else really doing it. He's the biggest sort of musician in the world right now.
Last year, I was at Isle of Wight Festival, and there was in the one of the BBC tent. There was not too many people in there. There was this young sort of folk singer in there who I had interviewed earlier in the year. I knew him a little bit, so I went to go see him, and everyone was just sitting there, kind of in the sun, swanning themselves, being interested but not really interested. And then suddenly, for the last song, he was like, oh, I'm going to get my mate out to come sing with me. And Ed Sheeran just bossed out of nowhere.
Oh, wow.
And suddenly, I've never seen a stampede in my life. This is the closest thing. There was women, children's shoes, everything, screaming. Everyone's running to the front. And Ed Sheeran did like a duet with this guy.
Boy done well.
And so I can only imagine what Glastonbury's going to be like. It's going to be epic.
Yeah, it's going to be
wicked. Right, let's see if you know. Okay, this is going to be like a test. Let's see if you know my news. Eddie Redmayne is playing an animation character. You know Aardman Studios? You do Chicken Run, Wallace and Gromit.
Yes.
They've got a new film out called Early Man.
Okay.
Which is about a little caveman called Doug, played by Eddie Redmayne. And it's also got Tom Hiddleston and Maisie Williams.
Okay.
And that's been announced today. But at the moment, Eddie is filming Fantastic Beasts. 9, 12 and 22 or whatever they're doing. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Great.
That's some new news there.
115 love to me.
Yes. Okay. No, I really won the first game.
We've got a potential Matrix reboot.
I heard. I'm not sure about that.
I know, me neither.
That's the one thing I'm like, no, I just liked where it was at.
I like Keanu and I like John Wick.
I loved what the Wachowskis did with that as well. It was just so good, and just leave that there.
Touch it. Leave it be.
Yeah.
Matrix 9. Please no.
Please don't.
Please no. And finally, do you like Big Bang Theory?
I do. I love Big Bang Theory. I love Sheldon.
Well, you'll love this then. The Big Bang Theory spin-off has been confirmed.
Ooh,
and it's called
a spin-off?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's called Young Sheldon. And it's going to be all about young Sheldon growing up in like...
Is he going to play it? What's his name? The actor?
No, they've got a young 9-year-old who at the moment is in that pretty... Little Big Lies.
Okay, that series, yeah.
Yeah, and they said it's going to be like Malcolm in the Middle style.
Okay, that would be wicked.
With this young...
Because his mom's proper Christian and
exactly.
He's... Yeah, science. That would be really funny.
So I think I'm quite excited to see that.
Young
Sheldon. I don't know when that's going to come out. We'll have to keep you posted.
Yes.
But pretty cool. Right. So I think we are going to go to one more song from the Riverdale soundtrack. And Wadge, thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you very much for having me.
I know you're desperate to go and have a Paddy's Day beer.
It's time to drink.
So that's been amazing. If you want to check out Wadge at the moment, you go onto BBC iPlayer. And click on The Attack.
Yes, The Attack, Terror in the UK. Watch me. Thank you very much for having me on.
Yeah, this is brilliant. So this song here is called, what is it called? It's called M83, which is not a very good name for a song. It's by Lasergun, and it's on the Riverdale soundtrack on Netflix. And I love it. This is Back Row and Chill.
Small town, too hot. Going for a trip, a place where dreams are made like comic strips. I see colors and planes, laser guns and champagne. I feel strong and smart, ready for a new start. It got me too. I can hardly believe it. What it makes me do.
just popped. People love me though. I'm their new Rambo. This is my kingdom, a different kind of home.
And chill. It is nearly 5 o'clock on a Friday afternoon, and I am doing this show. Well, I was doing this show solo, and I've been saved by my good friend Brooklyn. So, welcome, 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 welcome.
Thank you.
Is this your radio debut?
Yeah, it is.
I'm taking your radio virginity. Woo. I'm so excited. big welcome. So welcome to Foobar Radio, the one of the only radios where you can actually swear.
Great. I seen it was uncensored and I was thinking, yes.
Yes. I can relax.
Yeah.
People love it. They come in and they go, oh, can I? Can I? And you're like, yeah.
I do it all the time. I literally can't talk without swearing, so it's fine.
Good.
It's good.
Potty mouth. Yeah. Love it. Welcome to the show. So for people who don't know who you are, what do you do and how do we know each other? And then you can...
Well, we met, so I don't know if Johanna, you do comedy sketches. I started doing them about, 6 months ago?
Mm-hmm.
I used to model. I'm kind of done with that now. Hated it. And I thought, what else can I do? So I'm doing that now.
So now you're brilliant. Yeah. And if anyone wants to check out, let's pitch your Facebook out there. So if you want to check, people want to check you out. Brooklyn. A bit like the American.
Yeah, but with an E. So Brooklyn.
Because I see stuff all the time, like t-shirts, sweatshirts.
Yeah,
like
I know. Brooklyn,
and I'm like, I want some of my name on it. That's cool. That is cool. Yeah. Every week, Brooke, we give away a competition on our Twitter, which is at Foobar Radio. So all you have to do is go on to our Twitter, make sure you're following us and just retweet, and then you'll be in the chance of winning. And we have picked our winner, and he is on the phone right now. Woo. So let's see if technology will help us and let's connect us to it. Because the winner is Shane from Bournemouth. Let's see if you are here. Shane, are you with us?
Hello, how are you doing?
Hello, welcome.
Hi.
Back from
Thank
chill.
You.
You're the winner.
I know, I can't believe it. I'm over the moon. I love all the kidulthood, adulthood, Brotherhood films. I'm over the moon.
Brilliant. So you have won a signed Brotherhood DVD, signed CD and a poster by Noel Clark. And have you seen the film yet?
Yeah, I actually have. I didn't watch it in cinema, but I watched it with a friend about a month ago and I thought it was the best one, to be honest. So yeah. I'm over the moon with it.
I think it's the best one. And the DVD is cool because it's jam-packed with like behind the scenes and lots of extras. Noel did a commentary, which is like packed with all bits and bobs and behind the scene facts. And there's a big behind the scenes documentary, which I'm in, apparently. I don't remember.
I look forward to watching it.
Yeah, thank you. So we're gonna send that down to you in Bournemouth. So what do you do, Shane, on the day-to-day?
Day to day, not much really. I was doing a bit of gardening with my uncle part time at the moment. I'm currently unemployed looking.
Oh, gardening in the winter? That's
yeah,
rough.
That's why it's quiet.
Tell me about it.
Oh, well, good. Well, you know what? Spring is on the way. It's getting lighter and lighter every day.
So, yeah, I know. Bring on the summer, right?
Yeah, everyone's exactly. going to start wanting to put palm trees in their garden and stuff. So
yeah. You might be busy soon.
Yeah, fingers crossed. And in the meantime, you can just listen to the Brotherhood soundtrack. It's got Stormzy on and stuff. It's so, so good.
Yeah, I like the Captain Conan, Dunya.
Oh, yeah, isn't it?
I love Captain Conan.
And Jason Mazza, who plays the baddie in the film, he helped direct, and Noel helped direct that, the music video to that, actually. So that's... They're super cool guys.
That.
Yeah, they've got a really good music video on YouTube. And Jason's in it and Noel directed it. I think that's the way around it was. But brilliant. So thank you so much for coming on the show. We're going to get that to you in the week. And thanks for listening. Amazing, Shane.
Thank you.
That's no worries. Thanks a lot anyway.
That's okay. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Ooh, brilliant. Oh, brilliant. I cut him off a little bit. Sorry, Shane. Bye. Gosh, being a gardener midwinter.
Oh, bless him.
I know.
He'll be busy soon.
I know. It's good. The spring is coming.
Yeah.
Spring is coming. This week, we're going to have a little break from our giveaways. But next week, we've got a brand new giveaway. We have got an exclusive Brotherhood vinyl, which Noel is going to sign. So amazing. Make sure that you go to FUBAR Radio on Twitter. Just make sure you're following so that you can catch that giveaway tweet when we do that. So back to Brooke. I'm joined with Brooke Lynn.
It's about me.
It's all about you.
No, I'm joking.
I love it when we get girls in because there's so many men that come in the show. And
I didn't notice that.
It's nice to have a bit of, you know, fannies, you know.
I was going to say the other word, but I didn't.
What, badges? Minges?
No.
What? No?
I'm not saying it.
How many words are there?
These are the P.
Oh, pussies! Pussy Patrol!
Yeah.
Of course.
PP.
Brilliant. Right, so you do Facebook comedy stuff. And you're sort of big on Instagram as
well. Yeah, Instagram's kind of like only grown in the last like 3-4 months, but I'm glad. I'm not complaining.
That must be weird. Because I remember when I first got Instagram and I had about 10 people following me or whatever. Is it weird to have realised that so many people are looking at you and watching
you? Yeah, the
funniest
thing happened to me. So people always say to me, "How do you get recognised?" And I'm like, no, because I'm not anyone. I went into Nando's the other day and this girl literally came up to me, ran up to me, asked me for a picture, and I was like so embarrassed. I was like, why do you need a picture of me, babe? Bless her.
No, that's
so
cool.
So it was cool. It was cool. It was nice.
It's weird when you when you're famo on the internet because so many people know your face because you just pop up regularly in their timeline, but they don't necessarily know who
it's
you are.
Like us. You're the girl of the internet.
Are you the girl of the internet?
And like, that's me.
You don't know whether to say yes or not because you don't know what they're
which one?
Like,
Pornhub.
I'm not the no, not the one on Pornhub. not the Cash Me Outside girl.
Yeah.
No. You know what? The Cash Me Outside girl has now got 8 million followers.
No, I think she's got more. And I've seen something, she's earning like $140,000 a month.
No, I can't even. Most people wouldn't. They wouldn't earn $140,000 in their life.
Yeah, and she's young.
She's 13.
Is she 13?
She's 13, but
she looks about 20.
Apparently
a 13-year-old would not be looking like her.
Because she's got her 14th birthday is coming up. But I mean, when I was 13, I was in like braces, dungarees.
Yeah, trying out blue eyeliner.
I know.
Like horrendous stages. And now they're looking like Instagram models.
That is a thing I've noticed. Kids today look so trendy and cool.
Yeah, that wasn't me.
And good looking. And honestly... It was awful. Like recently on Facebook, people tagged me in a load of, we went on a school journey when I was about 15 and we found somebody obviously took like a kind of Kodak developer camera.
Oh God, I love those.
And they found them, they put them on Facebook and it's like, Jesus, We didn't know what eyebrow pencil was.
Yeah, someone sent me a picture today, actually. I'll show you after. It's horrendous.
Really?
And it was only 4 years ago, and I'm thinking... Can you delete that?
That's the thing. We're such a culture of putting everything online.
Yeah.
And it's going to stay online forever,
yeah,
potentially.
We'll be looking back at our videos in like 5 years thinking, what are those?
Yeah, I know. What have we done?
Yeah.
Actually, Emma Watson was in the news recently because her she had some photos stolen and then...
And they were leaked.
Leaked around the internet. Apparently they're not nudes, but they are of a private swimming costume fitting. I didn't know you could fit a swimming costume. It either like it's on or it doesn't.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
I didn't know there was a fitting.
They're all kind of like stretchy, aren't they? They don't really.
But apparently she's suing, which is I don't know, who do you sue? The thing with the internet is, do you sue everyone that shares it, or do you sue the?
How do they get leaked though? Is it publicity?
Yeah,
half of it. I feel like it is.
Somebody must have had access and somebody's
exactly.
gone, I'm going to leak these photos.
Yeah.
So it makes you...
Someone from Apple.
Yeah, do you know? So it makes you think maybe now that you're getting more famo and famo, just be careful about where you send your nudes and stuff because...
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine?
I haven't sent any, so it's fine.
Oh, right, brilliant.
I'm joking.
I was like, Pinocchio!
Yeah, no, I'll be fine.
I don't know. What do you guys think? Are you into a nude? Is it safe... To send a nude anymore?
Yeah, I don't think it's safe.
Does anyone trust anyone? That's the real... Do you trust someone enough to send them a picture of your vag?
If a guy even... I mean, I'm in a relationship, so it's fine. But even if a guy asked me for one, I think it's just like, why?
Why? I mean, that is a very weird concept. That
yeah.
is now... It's now completely normal.
Yeah, it is
I'd like a photo of your genitals, please.
Yeah, if it was the other way around, though, I don't think they would do it. I think girls are more kind of open to doing it. From what
really?
I know, yeah.
Oh, I don't know. My Snapchat's full of dick pics.
Oh, see, mine's closed because I can't go.
No, I mean not the ones that I've found, but like people yeah. just send
my
me dick
Instagram
pics.
Instagram is full.
Oh, really?
A second it comes up blurred, and you're like in the messages you've got to accept, and I can tell on the blur it's just a big dick,
a blurry dick. So I don't know. What do we think about this? Maybe we should do a Twitter poll whether
yes,
we not we agree with new nudes or not, because there was a theory that because of the backlash of revenge porn and people leaking the nudes and stuff, that it's actually going to deter people from actually sending them in the first place.
Yeah.
So in a couple of years, it's not going to be all the rage because people are going to really understand how much it can backfire on you.
Yeah.
So
it can definitely backfire.
Because, I mean, I'm thinking back to when it, like,
you're
smartphones.
Back to when you've done it.
Well, when smartphones were first ever out. And, I, you know, one of my first boyfriends, I think we were messing around. We had a couple of, like, naughty pics or whatever. nothing too bad. But then, obviously... We broke up, and I think I had them on, like, this is how old it was. I had them on a CD.
Oh, no!
A CD of photos.
CD-ROM.
And then I broke up with him, and obviously
Did
I'm
you
like...
ask for it back?
No, I forgot. And then now, like, years later, I was like, where is that CD? Somewhere in the world, there is a
You're
CD.
You're going to find them on Facebook soon.
I don't know. And the same with my phone. So I had my first ever smartphone, and my phone got stolen at a gig. And then
yeah,
it was when I realised, I went, my photos!
Yeah.
So I think after
And
that,
they didn't lock in those days, did they?
I know, we didn't have pins.
No.
It was just, what a time to be alive.
Yeah. So basically, we're fucked.
I know, we've
and
got...
And the new generation isn't.
They all know how to, like, cover themselves
yeah.
and whatnot. I don't know, if anyone got any horror stories about sending nudes gone wrong, please let us know. We'll keep you
yeah.
anonymous or we'll shout you out, whatever. Tweet us at FooBarRadio or email into the show, chill@foobarradio.com. Do you have any disaster? Nude
yeah,
tweeting
we want to know
disasters. Please let us know.
But don't send us nude pics.
No, but no dick pics today.
No,
there's only
today.
So many penises one can look at before one throws up. We're gonna pop to another song from Riverdale. I've been obsessed with this Netflix series called Riverdale.
Okay.
You will love it.
Okay.
My mate recommended it to me, and I've not had a show where I've actually been glued.
Oh, really?
And they're releasing it one a week, Netflix.
Oh, that's so annoying.
So you can't binge
on
it.
On a Wednesday?
It's on a Friday.
Oh.
Tonight! Yes!
Oh, they do that with the others as well. It's really annoying.
But it's so good. And it's set in this fictional town of Riverdale. And the comic books was originally in the 50s, but they've modernised
okay.
it to the modern day. But everyone's still 50s style. So the girls all have like
perfect right up your street.
Red lipstick, curly hair. They go to the diner, but it's all modern day. It's about a murder. One half of a twins get murdered.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a bit of like a whodunit. And everybody potentially could have shot this boy. Very cool. But the soundtrack is insane. So I'm going to play Gold by Ciara. This is Backer and Chill. It's Brooklyn and Johanna James. Oofus boy, let me love boy, what you know. Oofus boy, let me love boy, what you know. Oofus boy, let me love boy, what you know. Oofus boy, let me love. Caught up in my taste. Track
sexy,
that is it's Backer and Chill. I'm joined today by Brooklyn, social media starlet.
Says you.
Where you are?
Half a million. Sorry about
how
that.
How many little followers have you got now on your
280,000?
That's mental. On your Facebook
and like or just over 100 on Insta.
That's crazy.
I know.
Well, that's how we know each other. We met through mutual love of being stupid online, which is cool. We've got, I asked the people earlier in the show to tweet in their favourite movie or questions. So we've got Jacob Osterhues, who says, favourite movie has to be Fight Club.
It's the best.
So what would you say your favourite movie is, Brooke?
Oh, there's too many. I'm like really soppy.
Oops. In the mic.
I'm really soppy. I like Pearl Harbor.
Oh my gosh.
Because of Josh Hartnett.
Oh, is he your fave?
He's one of my faves.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw Pearl Harbor, but I saw it originally when I was, it went over my head. I was too young. So I then
didn't understand it.
Yeah, I then watched it again later, and then you understand the depth of it.
Yeah, no, it's good.
But
there's loads of movies that I like. Any of Denzel Washington.
Oh, yeah.
Fight Club is amazing as well.
Fight Club is good as well. I was late to the party on that. I didn't see that for ages. Yeah.
How did you miss that?
Well, I tend to... I had this thing where I got put off if films were an 18 certificate.
Why?
Even though I was well over 18, I still look at an 18 and go, oop, not for me. That's a naughty one.
That's a lie, because I went to see 50 Shades of Grey with you.
I didn't know that was an 18.
You did when you started watching it.
I was shocked.
Oh my God.
I was shocked. It was an experience going to see 50 Shades of Grey with Brooke, because
it was fun.
You kept making noises all the way through.
The thing is, I didn't even really fancy him until that film.
Yeah.
And then it kind of all went...
I mean, it wasn't just you. The cinema was all women.
There was not one guy.
There was not one man in there. And as soon as he came onto the screen, there was like audible, oh my God, oh my God, look at him.
Literally.
Do me now and stuff like that. Yeah. And just all the way through the film, it was a beautiful little cheese fest.
It was good.
Yeah, it was good. You haven't seen 50 Shades.
Check it out,
you know.
It's like soft porn.
Do you know what it pretty much is?
Yeah, it is. The second one is.
Yeah,
kind
I
of.
Preferred the second one to the first one.
There's things in there I didn't know what they were doing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That pole thing, do you remember?
Was she tied the legs together?
Yeah, and he just went and flipped and the whole body went round.
I mean, there is many an accident to be happened when you start bringing poles
Don't
and
try
stuff
that at home.
Into the bedroom. Actually, a little, I think I should maybe pass on a bit of knowledge. My boyfriend tagged me in a link on Facebook today, all about the safeties of choking.
Oh.
So if you are into that, if that's what you want to get up to on your Friday night and you're back row and chill, Netflix and choke, whatever.
Yeah. I need to see that.
It was like, the aim of choking is not to restrict the esophagus. It's not to press down on the bit where you breathe.
So the sides.
It's to squeeze the sides, exactly, because that's where you've got the arteries. So if you apply pressure to the arteries with the shape of a V, then it will just bring lightheadedness to your partner rather than actually killing them.
Okay.
So
that's a good point then.
I just thought I'd bring that up as we were on kinky movie sex.
Cool.
You know, safe sex, everybody. Safe sex. Maybe we can do a segment every week.
Yeah.
Brooke and Johanna's safe sex tips. Amazing. We are coming up soon in the show. We're going to be speaking to one of the actors who is in the NBC show Emerald City. I don't know if any of you guys are fans out there. He's called Maido Hamada. And we're going to be trying to link up with him in America. I'm not sure if he's quite online yet, but we're going to be seeing if technology can link us all the way over to, I'm assuming, LA. That's where everyone is.
That's where he is.
Always in LA.
Always.
Have you been to LA?
No. I meant to.
Have you never been?
No. I know, but I'm going this year.
Okay, yeah,
100%.
Sure.
I want to go for like a month.
It's a complete world shift, LA, because I'm a London girl, and London is kind of, it's a bit sort of dirty and gritty and fresh and fashion and stuff, and LA is just so alien.
Really?
It's very clean.
Is it?
Yeah.
I imagine it to not be.
No, well, I think there's...
Depends on the part.
The different parts of LA, but it's also very far apart. In London, you can sort of walk almost anywhere, or you get buses, tubes, trains.
You can.
You have to drive everywhere in LA. So when the first time I went to LA... Yeah, now I Uber. The first time I hired a car, and that was a bad mistake.
That's a mistake.
I was driving everywhere on my own through the spaghetti junctions.
How did you cope?
One time I couldn't get off the highway.
Oh,
I couldn't,
God, no.
Because you have to turn on the opposite side to what you do in England. So I couldn't get over in time. I missed the junction 3 times, had to go round, and I was crying by the end of it. Yeah, like, I just want to get off.
I would crash. It's bad enough in London.
Yeah.
I'm learning to drive now, and it's like...
And oh, are you learning?
It's a bit scary.
Yeah, so definitely my tips for LA would be Uber. If you like healthy eating, amazing, because everywhere is just obsessed with salads and kale and working out.
Boring.
And they're big, they're really into their looks over there. So I felt so minging.
Did you?
When I went to LA. Oh my God, I was hanging out with like these models, and everyone super thin.
Oh God, no.
Go anywhere else in America.
I like a burger, me.
I know.
I don't mind a bit of beef.
I was looking for a burger and I couldn't find anything that wasn't covered in chia seeds or something.
Oh really?
It was quite hot.
It's not for me.
Not for me. Well, let's see if my dough is cool. It's coming in. Meadow. That was embarrassing. Let's see if we get him on the line. Meadow, are you with
he's
us?
He's on the line.
Thank Hi, you. How are you. So sorry. How
I hear
are you?
You don't like chia seeds, is that correct?
Well, we just like burgers.
I don't think I can be having this conversation with you now if you don't like chia seeds.
Oh,
I think
no.
You're
much,
one of the healthy ones.
Against us now.
So are you into the whole healthy eating thing?
Well, it depends. It depends on what's healthy. I mean, I don't like to eat processed foods, but I don't like to overdo it either.
For sure. Balance. It's all about balance.
Balance, yeah.
It is. It's all about the balance.
And where in America are we connecting with you now? Are you, which side are you on?
In LA.
You're in LA.
LA.
We knew you would be.
Brilliant.
I'm probably, I'm not having a chia smoothie or anything, chia muffin. I'm actually quite good. I just had a normal caffeine-laced coffee, and it's making me jittery. It's probably not good for
You're
me.
You're buzzed. It's Friday night. Woo-hoo. You're buzzing. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
We love to talk to people all about things entertainment, and your show, Emerald City, on NBC. Just tell all the fans over here sort of how you got involved with that, and what's the backstory to that? I love the behind the scenes.
Oh, sure. So I auditioned originally for a different part within the show, and Ooh. Then they came back to me and asked me would I audition for Eamon, and I said, yeah, sure, I'd love to. And then I read all the scripts and just kind of fell in love with the show. And for those of you who don't know, Emerald City is a reimagining of The Wizard of Oz. Ooh. It's based on the Frank Baum novels. He wrote 14 books.
Wow.
And so we're basically a new take on what people remember from The Wizard of Oz. It's a completely different take on it. It's very kind of Game of Thronesy, if you want, in terms of, you know, lots of knights and armor and sword fighting and all that kind of stuff. But we have witches, and of course there's a Tin Man, and there's a lion, and there's a scarecrow. So all the familiar characters that you still remember are still in the show, except completely different. And everybody becomes those characters in our show rather than being those characters from the get-go.
And do you remember, because obviously everyone, I have such childhood memories of the original Wizard of Oz. Do you remember the second, the Return to Oz film?
No, I don't.
Did anyone see that?
Mm-mm.
I really remember. The thing that kind of stuck out with me is I watched The Wiz, you know, the Michael Jackson one where he played the Scarecrow in the late 70s. That was really my childhood memory. I think, you know, I caught The Wizard of Oz maybe once or twice on TV on a Christmas special or something like that. But it was more The Wiz that had an impact on me than the other movies.
Oh, brilliant. And so you are also a bit of a... You've spent some time in England, haven't you? You trained over here?
I have spent a lot of time in England, yes. I actually went to drama school in the UK. And then when I started my career, my drama school was in Oxford. Not Ooh. Affiliated with the university, but independent of that. So I went to drama school in Oxford. And then I got signed by my agent and moved to London, and then started doing plays in the UK. So the first 5 years I did plays in the West End and at the Royal Court and for the RSC and stuff like that. And until I then finally somebody decided to put me in front of camera, which I thought was a really good idea by that time.
It's about time.
But yes, I spent a lot of time in the UK.
And so that's okay. So you transitioned from, because I mean, having like a stellar career on the theatre, it's so different to being on screen. Did you have much training in film and camera? Because did your drama school give you any training for that? No, sadly
not. I think we were still, probably it's probably changing now, but when I went, it was still, you know, you were prepared to go for the stage, your body and your voice and working on Shakespeare and the text and all that. It was very much a stage school as such. So we were trained to go to theater and not really trained for film and TV at the time. But I think, you know, like everything, you really don't really learn much about acting until you're actually doing it professionally and you're learning from the other pros that are doing it or have been doing it for so long. So I was very fortunate to be able to have done the theater in the beginning and to be able to watch all these amazing actors and watch their process and learn from them and ask them questions. And the beautiful thing about the UK is and the rich history of theater that you guys have is that, you know, you really start to you know, make bonds with these older actors who are really generous in sharing their information.
It is a hard transition because, I mean, even now I went to drama school in London as well, and they didn't prepare us really well at all. So going out and doing sort of bits of TV and film, you are just sort of winging it and pretending. So you're acting on top of your acting.
Sweetheart, I'm still winging it now.
We're all just winging.
Oh, am I not allowed to curse? Oh, bollocks.
Oh, no, you can. You can. No, this is FUBAR Radio.
I can say bollocks. Oh, I haven't said bollocks in so long. I miss saying that.
Oh, that is a proper British swear word right there. That's brilliant.
It is indeed. It
bollocks.
Is. Bollocks.
I mean... I'm going to pretend that it's Shakespearean. I think he probably invented that one. That's really
so
good.
I'm pretty sure he was probably one of the better cursors of his day. I'm sure he was.
So is Emerald City what you're concentrating on at the moment? Have you got anything in the sort of near future as well, or is?
Well, no. We finished shooting Emerald City in June last year.
Oh, okay.
And so right now, since November, I'm filming a new show called Counterpart for a network here called Stars, and that's a really great show. And I'm shooting a whole season of that. I should be finished by that by June, I think.
Nice.
And yeah, it's a wonderful show. It's about the world has been duplicated. In some kind of seismic event, and there's a cold war going on between those two worlds. So that's the new show I'm doing. But yeah,
that's got J.K. Simmons in it. Is that
that's
right?
Correct?
Yes,
J.K.'s playing.
Yeah, brilliant. Yes. Oh, that's exciting. Well, thank you so much for chatting with us today. And if any of our listeners out there want to check out Emerald City, definitely
check out Emerald City. It's a fantastic show, and you'll really enjoy it. And it's completely different to what you guys remember from what Oz looks like. It's dark. It's gritty. It's beautiful. It's got fantastic scenery and sets and great actors in it. And it's a really fun story. So go check it out.
Yeah, it looks absolutely amazing. Game of Thrones / Wizard of Oz. I'm there. Brilliant. Well, enjoy your weekend and your chia seed latte.
Yes, thank you.
All right.
Take
care.
Are you guys coming out there? Are you guys coming out
yes.
to LA anytime?
Yeah,
soon?
We want
summer.
To, for sure. We want to go out and we do a lot of sort of, well, Vine's dead now, but we do Facebook comedy videos. So we want to come out and film a bunch of them out in LA, because that's the place to do it.
Mm.
That is the place to do it. And plus, the sun is always shining. And, you know the British weather. It's not a guarantee.
Sucks. It's shit, isn't it?
It's shit.
It's so...
Listen, that's why I left.
Because of the weather.
It's so depressing. I don't blame you.
Yeah.
I lived in the UK for, I think, a total of about 10 years. And I think in that time, I don't recall having 2 weeks of sun.
Did you turn into Caspar?
Well, yeah, you must have been pale as...
Well, yeah. but hey, there's so many great things to do in London. You don't miss the sun after a while.
Yeah
we're
cool.
busy. All right, well, have a good weekend. Thanks so much,
thank
mate.
You.
Thank you. Take
Bye.
Care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, what a sweetie.
He's cute.
He's cute. Well, he is cute. Look at that picture.
Is he?
He's foie.
No, I'm joking.
No, really.
I know from The Wizard of Oz, my first dog was called Toto.
Oh, really? Because
based on that.
Toto!
Yeah, I used to want to be Dorothy.
Oh, yeah. Do you know, Wizard of Oz, she was supposed to be 10 years old, Dorothy, the character. But Judy Garland was 16 when she played
her.
And she sprouted breasts.
Yeah, she did have breasts.
They were all constantly trying to bandage her boobs down. And they tried to design the costume with frills to make her look as flat-chested and as young as possible.
Right,
but it was just very obvious that she was...
Yeah, she didn't look 10.
That she was like a late teenager. Anyway, we've got Lucy Patterson coming up for some film reviews. We're also going to be speaking to the director of Personal Shopper. We're going to pop to some music. This is Background Chill. Oh, I'm going to play a bit of...
it's my fave.
Arctic Monkeys, actually.
Oh,
and then we're going to end with the Sheeran. Okay, but Arctic Monkeys, this is also from Riverdale, as every other song so far has been on the show. This is Background Chill.
The mirror's image. It tells me it's home time, but I'm not finished, 'cause you're not by my side. And as I arrived, I thought I saw you leaving, carrying your shoes,
decided that once again I was just dreaming of bumping into you. Now it's 3 in the morning and I'm trying to change your mind. Left you multiple missed calls and to my message you replied. Why'd you only call me when you're high? High. Why'd you only call me when you're high? Somewhere darker, talking the same shite. I need a partner. Well, are you out tonight? It's harder and harder to get you to listen. More I get through the gears, incapable of making all right decisions and having bad ideas. Now it's 3 in the morning and I'm trying to change your mind. Left you multiple missed calls until my message you replied.
Welcome back. I'm joined today by director Olivier Assayas. Is that?
Yeah, that's good.
Brilliant, thank you. And we're going to be talking about his new movie, Personal Shopper, which stars Christian Stewart. And I went to see a screening week before last, so I've already seen the movie. So if you could just tell us a little bit about the movie and how it came about, how you started to make it.
Well, you know, it's the question you always get, but ultimately it's the toughest, because when you write a film, it's like when you write a novel, you know, you start small. You start from a character, an image, whatever, you know, and it kind of grows into a fully bloomed story. So it's I think here it was pretty much the character of Maureen. I had both the character, meaning a young girl in Paris, a foreigner. You know, she has no friends there. She has no roots there. She's there because that's where her brother used to live, and her brother just died. And just to make a living, she has to do a very stupid job, which involves just carrying
personal
bags
shopping
from point A to point B, really, you know.
Yeah, and so the premise of the story, for anyone who hasn't, is there's a young girl in Paris and her brother dies. And so it's a bit, she's also a medium, isn't she? So she can, well, she's trying to contact the other side.
Yeah, she's a medium, but she's not too sure about that. She has her doubts. I mean, it's mostly her brother who was into that. But,
okay.
She's trying to, because, you know, they made this oath, like, because, you know, they all have some heart problems. They both have heart problems. So they knew they were not going to live
very
too long.
Yeah.
So they made a promise that the first one who goes would try to get in touch with the other. And but he was really the one who believed in that stuff. And she's left and she has major doubts. She's not so sure she will get a sign.
And so is it a French film?
Well, you know, it's we are like we it's just the best of both worlds or the worst of both worlds,
yeah.
In a sense that, you know, for, I suppose that for the French we are foreign film because we are an English speaking film. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, we don't get any subsidies or help in France.
Okay.
And for the rest of the world, we're basically an indie French film. So
yeah.
We don't get that much
financing.
Yeah, it's a bit
of a hybrid.
Because
I was wondering whether, because I heard about Kristen was doing a sort of a French film. I thought, oh, is she going to speak French? Is it going to be half and half? I love it when we sort of pair with France and do half and half films. It's brilliant. Mm-hmm. And just about the casting as well, because you've got some fantastic actors in there. Was Kristen always in mind?
Kristen was, I suppose, part of the inspiration for the film. I mean, I had just worked with her, and you know, and if I was telling the story of a young American girl, you know, my point of reference would have to be her, you know. So it's written for her, and I think, you know, it's a movie where she's really pretty much center stage. So it's. I think that her artistic input is vital in this film. I think there's a lot of whatever this film is that it owes to Kristen.
And with the storytelling of this film, it was probably the most unusual film I've seen this year in terms of I couldn't see where it was going to go, and it felt like almost sort of two or three different styles of film all wrapped up together.
Yeah.
It was with the sort of supernatural side. I was like, is it a horror thriller? And then with the sort of, then it turned into more of a drama with the with Kristen and her the mystery guy on the phone, which was so it kept sort of shifting between.
It's both part of the fun when you're writing, and it's hopefully also part of the fun when you're watching the film. I think that, you know, this ultimately is a character study. It's a coming of age story, and it can be told in a million ways.
Yeah.
We follow someone going through some kind of major crisis in her life, but I think there are ways to share that with an audience, and try to make the film.
Yeah.
Fun.
Yeah.
You know, in the sense that, you know, it twists and turns in weird ways, but the idea is to keep you constantly surprised. I think that's what storytelling is about. And I'm getting also bored with both as a writer and as a viewer with movies that kind of follow, you know, like by the dots,
genre
making, you know, so you're safe, you know where, you know, it's getting a pretty dull cinematic experience. I'm more fond of more challenging for viewing experiences.
No, for sure, and it definitely, if you're looking for something a little bit outside the box and a little bit different to your usual, are you having an English tea?
I'm having an American coffee.
And you film in Paris.
Yeah.
And also in London, because I saw that you got the Eurostar.
Sure.
And that's a journey that I've made many, many times. How logistically, was it easy to film on the Eurostar?
No, it was not. When I wrote the scene, I said, "Oh, this is really simple," but then it turned into a nightmare. Really, I mean, it was unbelievably complicated because basically you're not allowed to shoot on the Eurostar. So we had to we ended up locating an old Eurostar carriage that was parked I'm not sure where in France.
Yeah.
And we ended up, of course, we were not able to shoot on a moving train. We were shooting on a train in a parking and in a garage. And so that was not easy. That was very difficult, actually. Then we had, you know, to go through special effect to insert whatever is going on on the other side of the windows.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then we were not allowed to shoot in the French on a station. I mean, in the French.
In the Gare du Nord?
Eurostar zone.
Yeah.
In the Gare du Nord, but they allowed us to shoot in London. So we ended up, we could not shoot the French lounge, and we ended up shooting both lounges because, you know, she travels and so she stops in the Paris lounge, and then on the way back she's in the London lounge. But ultimately it's the two different levels of the London lounge, the same lounge.
Amazing.
And so some stuff we absolutely had no access to, meaning when she bought boards the train in Paris. We were not allowed access, but we were allowed access in London. So again, we had to I don't know. And both on the British and French side, we were not allowed to film the passport control and the metal detector area. So we had to recreate that in the Czech Republic. So I don't know, you know, this whole thing that looked very simple and fluid
was
a
nightmare.
Hell to make.
Oh, that's crazy, because wow, that's amazing, because I remember just seeing, I'm like, oh, they're filming on the Eurostar. I had no idea that you could film on the Eurostar.
You actually can't. You were right.
Well, well done. You pieced it together really well. So what's sort of next for you? Do you have...
Well, I have different projects. Okay. I have one movie that I was supposed to make 2 years ago in the US, like a true crime. And, you know, it's a screenplay I wrote, like 3 years ago now, but I'm still pretty fond of it. I think it's exciting. It's a mafia story in the late 70s. So.
Lovely.
But it's expensive, so we're not sure. We have a hard time putting it together.
Sure.
So I'm writing a couple of other screenplays and... So I know we'll decide what's the one we'll put on fast track.
Okay. and just to go full circle around to the beginning, how did you start out? For any young filmmakers out there who want to know how to get involved?
I didn't go through film school. If that's part of the question. I mean, for some reason, I hated school, mm-hmm. you know, and when I started making films, it's kind of interesting because when I started making films, which is maybe a long time ago, but ultimately not that long, filmmaking was not for brilliant students. It was for the more artistic, more confused and messy ones, you know. And now it's become the opposite. Now it's like the best students want to become filmmakers or something like that. I don't know how it is in England, but that's the way it is in France. I studied literature. I studied painting because I was more of a draftsman, painter. And I approached filmmaking by working as a trainee, you know, on productions, on various productions. I mean, I did whatever stupid job I could get, so I can relate to Kristen being a personal shopper in my film, because when you're very young at that point and you want to get into whatever attracts you, you do silly jobs. So I worked a lot in England, mm-hmm. as a trainee in the editing rooms for Superman, which was an interesting job.
Oh, wow, okay.
a weird interesting job. I work also as a third assistant on a couple of English American movies shot in Europe. So I was an assistant editor. But then I basically started making my own short films. Which is also specific, I suppose, to French culture. I wrote about filmmaking.
Okay.
In the magazine Cahiers du Cinéma, which was the Nouvelle Vague historical magazine, and I think that I learned a lot there. I mean, that was more of my films. That was my film school.
Brilliant. Okay, so basically, in England, we call it when you're grinding. It means you're working so hard, do whatever you can to get to where you go. So you grind, you work the grind.
You got
your fingers in all the pies. Brilliant. Yeah. Well, thank you so much.
It was a pleasure.
And all the best. You're going to be. Are you popping on the Eurostar now?
Yes, I am.
You're whizzing back to Paris, so
yes,
thanks so much for giving us the time.
It was a pleasure.
That was brilliant. Thank you.
Thank you.
He was so cute.
Fingers in pies.
What a cute little French guy.
Whizzing away.
So that was about the movie Personal Shopper, Kristen Stewart. Can I just say, she shaved her entire head, ladies.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, I've just seen her on she's doing all the press for Personal Shopper, and she's done a proper buzz cut.
Why?
Everything off.
No. For a reason or just...
Maybe a role.
Had enough.
But she's
Jenna Britney.
She's buzzed it off, but she's dyed it peroxide blonde. And weirdly...
Surely it's a role then.
I think she looks better.
Really?
She actually, one of the few people who looks amazing, like Natalie Portman, just
like
looks...
Amber Rose looks amazing. Yeah. I mean, she's glamour, but she actually
She does,
I don't know if I could shave my head, even for a role.
Absolutely not.
No way.
Maybe for a role. If Spielberg asked, I'd be like, look, mate.
Actually, yeah,
right.
I think there's levels to this.
To be fair,
I just wouldn't, ever.
Stranger Things, 11.
I know.
If you've just joined us now, it's Background Chill. I'm joined by Brooklyn and also Lucy Patterson.
Hello.
Hi.
Having a ladies'
day. Lovely.
Ladies' day on FUBAR. Right, so we can just, let's fly in with some film reviews. We're going to be telling you what's hot and what is shit.
Yes.
So I think, Lucy, if you go first, because you've seen the most, you've seen the most up to date.
I have. Oh, I saw Beauty and the Beast today.
So jealous.
And
so
do you know what? I was fighting back tears the entire time because it was that overwhelming.
No.
I'm emotional anyway. Like, I cry everything.
So do I.
But
everything.
I get so overwhelmed by certain things. And as soon as I heard the music swell, you
yeah.
know, and the story at the beginning of The Enchantress and
does
things like that.
Does it have the doo-doo-doo?
Yes, I don't, because I will cry now, honestly. I will cry. Sit here and cry now. Stop it. It was just that good. I mean, I went on my own, which didn't help. But I was surrounded by all these people just snivelling like an idiot. But anyway, I mean, that tells you in itself how amazing the film is. You know, I have nothing to complain about, and I will find something in
and
any film that I watch.
Really?
Usually,
Sarah,
I am.
Wow.
You know, and when I first heard about it and I heard it was going to be Emma Watson, I was concerned.
I am as well.
I don't really like her.
No, see, this is the thing. Sometimes, whenever I watch her, I think GCSE drama.
For sure.
Yeah.
You know, her dialogue delivery and her facial expressions are all a bit like my old drama class, you know, at school.
Yeah.
And I just think...
like my acting.
Come on. Oh, come on now. but she, on the odd occasion, did take the turn into GCSE drama, but it didn't matter. It didn't matter at all, because the entire film was absolutely amazing. Like they did with Cinderella, they made it the most... that, in the truest sense of the word, is the most beautiful film I've ever seen. And Beauty and the Beast is totally up there with that. The set designers and the CGI
amazing.
And the costumes, and it's not going to disappoint anybody at all. Luke Evans is my favourite thing about that film. Who knew he had those pipes on him?
Because I heard a snippet of him singing.
He's amazing.
Really?
What about Emma Watson singing? Because it is auto-tuned to shit, isn't it?
It really is. Do you know what? Within about two bars, I heard, oh my God, that's auto-tuned.
It's all just, she's singing like, and it's like this like computer.
If you've done voice coaching or any sort of vocal training, you can tell a mile off. I learned to sing like that in college, you know.
Yeah,
my performing arts training taught me how to sing like that, and I just think, oh, could they have got somebody else that had a better voice? I don't know, but I think at the moment she's the only one that's young enough and has the right look to be Belle. All right,
I beg to differ.
Apart from you, Diana. I can't believe they didn't pick you.
I know,
limited.
Right?
But yeah, it was absolutely perfect. Everybody go and see it at the cinema. Do not waste the opportunity.
Yeah, I'm going.
It's amazing.
I'm going to go tonight. So that is a big resounding from Lucy.
Absolutely.
I'm going to leave the studio.
Good.
And I'm going straight to the cinema.
Make sure
I'm going to see it. I'm so excited. It is my favourite Disney film.
See, it's my second favourite. And I was thinking, I'm scared. My first is Sleeping Beauty. Always will be. I love Aurora, but they added a couple of extra songs in it which were a little bit unnecessary.
Okay.
But because
why
my generation and younger know Beauty and the Beast backwards and forwards and know the songs and things like that, they're a little bit jarring.
Yeah,
because you think these are a bit
and you can't sing along.
No, exactly. Yeah. that was exactly it. I was sitting there sort of singing along like ignoring the people around me. And I was thinking, oh, what's this then?
Don't know this one.
It's a little bit weird, but anyway.
Was there a song called Human Again?
There may have been. I was crying. So
because there is a song.
Just didn't clock that one.
There's a song from the original 1991 release, which got cut, called Human Again. And they pre-recorded it and everything. And then when the DVD came out for the anniversary, they stuck it in the original animation. They reanimated it. And it's called Human Again. And
maybe there was. Because, there was a song that Beast was singing. Oh, and they I all sort of beast. Got. I love him. Aww. I actually had a crush on him. Like, I felt
weird. I used to fancy him when I was a child.
Still do.
It's a bit weird.
Still do.
Yep. Watch this and you'll fancy him too. I know. Believe me.
I mean, my boyfriend makes sense now yeah. when you see that.
The
he's,
hair.
He's very hairy. Okay, so we are so anyway, excited yeah. about this. Right, moving on. What else is really, really good? So I went this week to see the preview for The Lost City of Z, or Ooh. The Last City of Z, if you're in America, yeah. Which is Charlie Hunnam from
Sons of Anarchy.
Sons of Anarchy.
That hot one.
Oh, yeah, gosh, that hot one.
The hot blonde one.
And also Tom Holland, who plays his son.
I love Tom Holland.
Who's the new
Spider-Man, isn't
new
he?
Spider-Man boy.
Okay, cool.
Who I didn't realise that until I did my research. I didn't recognise him. He did have a moustache, so that was a bit more funny. I went in not knowing what it was about. I just got a press screening invite and went.
I think that's the best way.
I went, oh yeah, I'll just go and see what is it?
Yeah.
It's a true story, based
didn't
on a true
that.
Story,
wow.
about Percy Fawcett, who was he was in the army in the turn of the century, like 1906, and the film goes from 1906 to 1927.
Wow.
So it spans all of that time. And it was basically, there's this real guy called Percy Fawcett. He was in the army, and originally at the time, there was a war going on between Brazil and Bolivia to do with like rubber mining. So they sent in some of the British soldiers to because there was no maps. No one had ever been into the Amazon before.
Okay.
So they've said, you've got to go through the jungle and you have to map out where the border of Brazil, and so we can stop this argument.
Wow.
So he went in, and then they were, and they like nearly died because obviously they're going through the Amazon as like British, like, tally ho, guys, what's this snake? Oh,
in
I
their
see.
Jumpers, yeah.
And so they go through, and then they find that deep in the jungle, they find pottery in the ground.
Yeah.
And they find rocks that have carvings in them, and they're saying, wait, hold on. The Amazon isn't just a, like, underneath the Amazon, we think there's a lost ancient city. And there's like,
oh, cool.
There were, excited.
Yeah. So he was like, he called it Z. And he spent his entire life absolutely obsessed about finding this lost city of gold in the Amazon. And so then World War One happens, and he has to go into the war. And oh my gosh, there is a scene when he's in the trenches. And I've seen like trench movies.
Yeah.
This was brutal. Absolutely amazing.
Really?
You were like sitting there. It was as if you were going through the trenches. And like, I went to see it with a producer friend of mine. And afterwards we sat and went, that movie was amazing.
Wow.
Costume wise, bang on.
Yeah.
What's it called? Song wise.
Score
wise. That's the one. So score wise, bang on. She even speculates, she thinks that they filmed it on film rather than digital camera.
Oh, wow. Really?
Because the film looked like, it reminded me of, it looked like it was made in years ago.
You can definitely tell, can't you? And
the whole way this film was made was old school. It felt like a 60s classic. Like Charlton Heston could have played the so it's a big biopic. It's 2 hours and 20 minutes long. It is long, so make sure you pee.
Does it feel like it's long?
It did go. I did think, where is this going after a while? Because it kept going through the years, and I was like, "What's gonna? They're gonna find
when
it?
When is it ending?"
But overall, it is like it's a modern day classic.
Wow.
It's got Robert Pattinson from Twilight.
Okay,
he plays the sort of the right hand man.
Yeah.
To Percy Fawcett, and you wouldn't recognise him either. He's got a full on beard.
Wow.
I think he's deliberately going away from leading. Yeah, he wants to get as far away. This is as far away from Edward as you can get.
I'm done with him.
It was really, really good. So I'm saying a huge thumb up. It was surprisingly just brilliant.
And, I'm excited.
The wife is played by Sienna Miller.
Obviously, because she plays everyone's wife in everything.
She's
in everything.
I like Sienna.
But she's good.
I do, but she's in everything. Give someone else a chance.
The only thing I was upset with is that I thought, because she played this feminist, but in 1906.
Yeah.
And she wanted to go along with the jungle expeditions, and there was a big scene where she said, no, I've done bloody childbirth, I've done this, I've done that, and she was like, I don't want to stay at home and just have the kids. Like, I'm coming with you to the jungle. And I thought, oh yes! Let's go, girl! But she doesn't end up going. She wasn't allowed. And I was just like, oh, that's not quite the film. I thought it was going to be a big, like, they're going to make it through the jungle as a couple, but that wasn't quite what the film was like. And so I did a little bit of research about the film and about, because it was based on, I didn't know until the end when they tell you like what happened to everyone and stuff, and you're like, oh god,
I like
it's real.
That. Yeah.
It's real.
When you don't know, I like that. It makes me more impactful.
Yeah. So initially, Brad Pitt was supposed to play Percy Fawcett. Really?
Didn't he produce it? Was it his production company?
Yeah, Plan B. Yeah. It's like very. It's the same people. 12 Years a Slave as well.
Him and Charlie Hunnam are like mates, aren't they? Like they're
hot mates.
I know.
I know. Can you imagine turning up for a beer with them?
Which one do you choose?
Charlie.
Always Charlie, Eenie, actually, Charlie. Yeah.
Eenie,
yeah.
Meenie, Miney, Charlie.
Yeah. Catch a Charlie by the toe.
If he squeals, don't let him go.
Eenie, grab meenie. Him by the throat in a V shape.
okay, we just went right off.
Totally.
So Brad Pitt was supposed to play Percy, then he pulled out. Then Benedict Cumberbatch was supposed to play Fawcett, and then he... didn't play it, so then that's when it was handed down. And Robert Pattinson actually ate, in a scene he ate live maggots for real. But then the scene got cut from
it's
the movie, so
obviously he's done it for no reason.
He's like, right, great.
Oh, can you imagine your inside?
He's trying to be Daniel Day-Lewis and it's just it's completely backfired. Yeah.
And one of the crew members got, because they actually filmed through the Amazonia, the jungle, and one of the crew members got bitten on the face by an arbor viper. And so apparently the prop master just went in out of nowhere and sucked the venom and spat it out, but he had no idea what he was doing because he just finished on EastEnders, so he wasn't he wasn't trained or anything.
I think he just
saw it in a movie and just went for it.
Oh my god.
And yeah, so I mean, it was like a proper, and you can tell that the way this film is like, you can tell that they're actually there. They're not in a studio. It's real. Yeah. The sweat is real. The mosquito bites are real.
Amazing.
I do warn you that there is a lot of tribal. They keep going through all the tribes. Some of the tribes are cannibals. Okay. And stuff. There is a lot of bums in this movie. It's 2.5 hours long, nearly, and there is just so many tribesmen in thongs. At the end of it, I was like, I think I've seen over 500 bums.
A bit like Brotherhood. So many bums in that film. Can you know?
No.
Too much of his heart.
brilliant. So that is my. So The Lost City of Z, which is out next week. Definitely go to that.
Lovely, I will do. I was concerned about Charlie Hunnam because he's Jack Teller to me and always will be Jack Teller.
Yeah.
And I was a little bit concerned that he wouldn't be able to.
He's hot in a British accent. Oh, I'll tell you.
I'm so pleased.
He's just hot in general.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, no, he's good.
Any accent will do.
Well, no.
Just don't talk.
No,
just sit, Charlie. And so, just quickly, what about the other film that you saw?
Oh, I saw Get Out. Mm-hmm, straight after Beauty and the Beast, which was probably a bit stupid because it just completely ruined the vibe. But what an amazing film.
On your own again.
Yeah, on my own again. I go to cinema on my own all the time. People might think it's sad, but do it. It's such a good experience. Anyway, so I was geared up for this quite jumpy horror, you know. But what I got was this sinister, twisted... amazing film. You know, it was really, really, it really surprised me. You know, obviously everyone knows there's a huge racial aspect to it, but it goes so much deeper than that. And Jordan Peele, who wrote and directed it, he's a comedian. Him and Keegan-Michael Key have their own sketch show and things like that. They are so hilarious. And luckily enough, he was able to get some funny touches into the film.
Oh, as well.
I mean, I was laughing out loud and shitting my pants at the same time. Please go and see it. It's absolutely amazing. The performances were good.
Yeah.
The score was this mixture of like dirty hip hop and some of it sounded like Beetlejuice. You know, it was just really, really good. For a first time director, he did a brilliant
amazing job.
Yeah.
And it's the first time, I think I'm going to repeat this in the same show, the first time a black writer at the movies grossed over 100 million on the first film. So it's like,
he's done an amazing job. Good for you, Jordan Peele.
It's going to be hot property.
Yep, everyone go and see it.
Brilliant. Okay, so that's Lost City of Z, Beauty and the Beast, and Get Out. They're all like yes from us. Before we come into close, I want to play a little game now that we've got like a few of us in the studio. So I'm going to be pitted against Lucy.
I'm scared. She's gonna
it's a
me.
Disney voice trivia.
Yeah, exactly.
And you guys can play this with us at home or online if you're following us on there. So let's see if this works. I'm going to play. I'll control, but I do not know the answers, guys. For once, I'm not the one running this. So, Brooke, you've got
them.
You will be taskmaster. So,
Brooke is game master.
That's the one I was going for. So, let's have a look. So, this is going to be the Disney voice trivia quiz.
Ooh.
On background chill. Are we going to go Facebook Live or are we? Oh no, we can't because I didn't log in. So let's just
ruined it.
Great.
Didn't even think.
Okay, let's just walk into it. So, number one.
Oh, stomach.
Maybe I should try humpback.
No, don't try humpback.
Finding Nemo.
Yeah, I think it was.
What's the name?
The name of the character.
Marlin.
Mm-mm.
No.
Dory.
Dory.
Yeah.
1-0.
Oh, yeah, this is definitely Dory.
Yeah, that's true.
Don't do that.
Too much orca. Didn't it sound a little orca-ish?
It doesn't sound orca. It sounds like... I love that bit. Just as well, he might be hungry.
Don't worry. Whales don't eat clownfish. They eat krill.
Donald Duck? No, oh, not a boo!
Oh, yeah! In Aladdin! Yeah!
Come back,
yes, I remember that. Okay.
Alrighty. What do we
I
got
love
here?
The next one.
What's this?
Jeez, it's a lion! Run, Pumbaa!
Oh, move Timon and Pumbaa!
Yay! Little lion, look at him.
I love them too.
He's so cute and all alone.
They're so cute.
They are, then.
You're talking about a lion. Lions eat
cats. Pumbaa is the first Disney character to fart.
Oh, really?
That's a better... Come on now.
Gus!
You got it first.
She did.
Well, that's better.
I love Cinderella.
Well, let's just slip it on for size.
Sounds a bit dirty when you do it. Let's just... Oh, well, it'll have to do.
Now for me. I've got one. Octavius. For short, we'll call you Gus.
I'm going to call it Gus from now on.
Gus.
Yeah, we're nuts.
Okay.
I used to be a daredevil.
What?
That's right.
What's
folks
this?
Come from all around see my stunts.
Ladies
I
and
don't know.
Cars.
Cars?
No.
Rescuers?
Dumbo.
Nope.
I have no
what's
idea.
What's the answer?
Is it good that I don't know? Even,
what is it?
I don't even know what it is. Mater?
Oh, no.
That is Cars. Did you say Cars?
Yeah.
It is Cars.
Yes, it.
Johanna got it. I don't know why I just said that.
Say nothing at all.
Bambi, Thumper.
Yeah. We are like tennis ball in this back and forth. It is close, ladies and gentlemen.
Who's winning?
We're like drawing.
What did your father tell you?
About what?
About eating the blossoms and leaving the greens.
Oh, that one.
Oh,
so cute.
Eating greens is a special treat.
So
makes long ears and great big feet.
Oh, Mushu!
Yes!
From Mulan!
Mushu!
Who am I? I am the guardian of lost souls! I am the powerful, the pleasurable, the indestructible
Mushu. Oh my god, that's amazing. Right, we're gonna have to end it there because we're coming into land. The weekend is about to officially start in 3 minutes time, everybody. It's St. Paddy's Day.
Yeah.
So go and get pissed or stay in and watch Irish themed films.
Guinness.
Have a Guinness, watch a film. I'm off to see Beauty and the Beast.
Lovely.
Huge thank you to Lucy Patterson for coming
in.
And a huge thank you to Brooklyn for last minute coming in.
Thank you so
saving
much
my
for
ass
having
today.
Me.
I'm definitely gonna get you back again, babe, because
no problem.
So that's it. Well, catch us again next week. Noel should be back then, and we've got our competition to give out, so make sure you are subscribed to our Twitter at FUBAR Radio. I hope you have an amazing weekend.
Have a good one, guys.
We're gonna end on a bit of Ed Sheeran.
Oh, woo! Lovely,
because you know why not.
Exactly.
And I've got to say that this song has got me a bit emotional. It's called Perfect from his new
album. I'm leaving right now. I can't listen to it.
His new album is amazing.
It just makes me cry.
And I'm playing it because Ed is looking to star in a movie himself this year, so it seemed appropriate.
Yes.
Have an amazing weekend. This is Sexy Ed Sheeran.
Bye.
I found a love for me. Darling, just dive right in. Follow my lead. I found a girl. beautiful and sweet. Well, I never knew you were the someone waiting for me. 'Cause we were just kids when we fell in love, not knowing what it was. I will not give. Between my arms.